Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome everyone. Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. We're on the road today. We're out at Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. We're going to have a lot of fun in this hour. But before we get too far into the show, if you're out and about looking for a lunch destination today, all-you-can-eat buffet. It begins at 11 o'clock, so right now, $8.25 includes your drink. And that's every day, Monday through Friday, also on the weekends and select hours as well. But Sir Dano's, it's been a staple in the Sellersburg community, really in the Southern Indiana community, and we're here live today. A lot of different guests will be in and out with us over the course of the hour. We'll have some of our regular guests on the phone as well. Let's hop right into the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, I'm going to have Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek. He is with us on location at Sir Dano's. His team is fresh off a sectional championship with big hopes for the next few weeks or so of the high school basketball state tournament. So we'll catch up with him here in just a few moments in segment one. Also later in the program, Greg Doyle, sports columnist for the Indianapolis Star. He'll join us as normal on the phone line from Indianapolis. And a lot to talk to with Greg right now. Indiana on a big streak for the Hoosiers. Two wins in a row over ranked opponents. Things going very well for the Hoosiers. We'll see if they can continue out the regular season, close out the regular season maybe with a few more victories, and possibly get themselves closer to NCAA tournament talk. Will they be on the bubble? They're not too far off of the bubble now, but there's a lot of work to be done over the next few weeks, maybe even into the first round or two of the Big Ten tournament, if the Hoosiers are going to find NCAA basketball in their future coming up later this season. We'll talk with Greg about that and other topics as well when he's with us again by phone later in the program today. Also expect Joe Luce, the head coach of Jeffersonville, to join us here at Sir Dano's today. His team fresh off of a 4A sectional championship at Seymour, a big win over New Albany on Saturday night. His team is getting ready for Bloomington South, their next opponent on Saturday at the Seymour Regional. Todd Satterley, the athletic director at Jeffersonville, will join us as well, and we'll have some other guests and things in the rest of the hour. Glad you're with us, and again, if you're out and about today, still time to join us for lunch. We're at Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor. It's located in Sellersburg, right across the street from Silver Creek Middle School at the intersection of 31 and 403 is the best way I know to describe it. And I can't believe if you like pizza and you live in Southern Indiana that you probably don't already know where Sir Dano's is at. So we look forward to having you if you can get here before noon or even a little afternoon. Love to meet you. Love to talk some IU basketball with you and some local sports. Let's get right into our first guest today. Brandon Hoffman is here with me. Coach Hoffman, I know we've got to keep it fairly quick because you have the opportunity here in just a few minutes to head out to Southridge, which is about an hour and a half away, for your regional meeting. It's always good this week, this time of year, to still be talking about Silver Creek basketball and be getting ready to go to one of those meetings. That means you're still alive. You've still got an opportunity to move on in the state tournament.
That's right. I mean, what could be better? I'm talking to you. I'm at my spot here at Sir Dano's, and still get to play basketball. So, we're extremely pumped to be where we're at right now.
Interesting week for your Silver Creek team last week. Really the only, and I know you won't admit to this, but the only challenge on paper in that 3A sectional that was played just up the road at Charlestown was Brownstown, a team that clipped you in the regular season. It was a very close game. And right out of the gate, you knew you got the bye. You knew Brownstown likely would beat Charlestown, and they went on to do so handily, which set up that rematch on Friday night. And really, to prepare for that and to know that you were going to face right out of the gate for your team, one of the few teams, I think, one of the three teams that have defeated you throughout this great year for your club, that's an interesting challenge, not only for you as a coaching staff, but for your players as well, to open up tournament play, trying to knock off somebody that had beat them earlier in the year.
Right. Yeah, after Brownstown beat us in January, our guys, as soon as we got on the bus, were wanting to play them again. And that's just the respect that we have for Brownstown and how much of a rivalry it's developed between us two. They played their best basketball against us, and we didn't play well. And we were hoping to get to play them again. And, the way the draw was set up, it was right there for us on Friday. And I thought we came out and played really well, the second half especially.
Brandon Hoffman is my guest. We're live at Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Now we look to the regional, and it's an interesting regional field. You've been there before. You've been there many times in the last five or six seasons, to be in fact, but it's a little different when you look at the makeup of it. There's no Greensburg there. Batesville was the favorite coming out of that one. Greensburg upset the favorite there, I think you could say. And then there's no Bossy, there's no Heritage Hills. And again, I don't want to at all downplay the competition, because you're going to have to beat some really good teams to move on Saturday. But I just get a different feel when you look at the regional bracket this year at the Southridge Regional.
You're right. You know, we spent a lot of time, just because we thought we may have a chance to get there, we spent a lot of time scouting, Heritage Hills and Bossy and Greensburg, because they were – they're the common people that are there usually, and lo and behold, they ended up not making it. Batesville, man, what a great story they are, beating their rival Greensburg there.
Yeah, straighten me out on that. Yes. Batesville beat Greensburg.
Greensburg had
right?
been there like seven straight years. It's incredible. Yeah. And then Batesville finally clipped their rival there, and Bossy and Heritage Hills played each other in a great game the first round of their sectional, and Bossy beat them, and then, you know, those Evansville schools, we just beat the crap out of each other year-round. So you don't know who's going to win out of that one between Memorial and Bossy. And Memorial came out on top there. So, and Princeton's the fourth team. Princeton's got a really good team. They got two brothers that are a load. So, like you said, there's no bad teams left. But I like our chances. I think if we play well like we have been, that I don't see why we can't be the ones cutting the nets down.
The experience that your guys have, especially those upperclassmen, with previous trips to the regional, even though they may have not come out in your favor, as you sit here and go through practices this week, as you get ready to head to Southridge for the regional meeting, you've got to feel like you've got some things on your side as far as being there, because we all know anyone that's competed in sports or coached in sports or been around it a lot, when you step out on a different floor for tournament time where it's a one-and-done scenario, things are just a little different, whether you're the best player out there that's been through it all or whether you're someone that maybe doesn't get a lot of time. Things change in the tournament, but you've got some leadership to help you through those moments.
You're right. You're right. I mean, Zane's played more games than anybody in a Silver uniform ever. You know, and him and Jack and Josh and Ty, those seniors, they've played, they've played at least 12 or 15 postseason games already in their career. So, not much they haven't seen. And, last year our sophomores that are playing, they played a lot as freshmen. So in terms of getting caught up in an environment, being rattled or nervous, I don't really get that from this group. And it comes from experience and also from the schedule that we play during the year. We play some battles this year where that got us ready, I think.
Absolutely. Brandon Hoffman, the head coach at Silver Creek, is with me. We're live at Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Pizza buffet today, 8:25. It's every day. Includes your drink, a great selection of food, and the buffet just opened as we've got some people joining us here for our live broadcast. I'll admit this, as a guy that loves high school basketball and that's been around the game now for a while, I've been to Huntingburg Gymnasium at Southridge just to see it. I've never been to a game there. It's one of the places that I've just not been able to make, whether it be regular season or postseason. I know a lot of people listening probably have. It's one of the great gymnasiums that has housed postseason basketball over the years. You've been there. You've experienced it. Pretty neat place.
It is. It's awesome. I mean, that town is like it's stuck back in the 60s and 70s when basketball was like the thing. It still is now, but when it was the thing. And the history behind the gym is, I think there's like two or 3,000 people that live in the town, and they wanted to build a 7,000-seat gym. And the the state was like, no, you don't need to do that. And the tax, so, but the community ended up pressing for it. They decided to pay for it. So the town actually bought and built the gym. And then they handed it over to the school after it was paid for. And, you know, I mean, where else does that happen in the world but Indiana?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek is with me. Tell us before you head out here, what happens at these regional meetings? When somebody says, well, I wonder what he's got to go down there on a Tuesday afternoon and discuss, what's some of the things you go through?
Oh, just the logistics of how Saturday is going to go down. You know, what locker room you're going to be in, who are the officials going to be, what color jerseys you're wearing. You know, when can you take the court? Mapping out the times on, you know, when the games are, and Eastern Standard Time, Central Time, whatever. So just making sure there's no stone unturned. And it's kind of a cool thing because, you know, there's not too many coaches that still get to coach this week.
Absolutely.
And just the camaraderie you get to, you know, I know all those guys. I know that, you know, Aaron Garrett from Batesville, I've known him forever, so I can't wait to see him and shake his hand and congratulate him. And just hash out the stuff for Saturday, make sure everybody's on the same page.
Well, you know, it's an IU-based program, so if I don't bring this up, and I've already had a couple people tweet in things, tell us Trey Kaufman. He is a young prospect, but just one of many mm-hmm. that have made your team special this year. He is getting some interest, early interest from Division I programs. Indiana has been one of those programs that has touched base and has watched as they can. How's his development going, and what's made him such a special prospect so early in his career?
Well, the thing that makes him special is there's nothing really he can't do. You know, he's got guard skills, and you know, he shoots 40% from three, and he's probably the best passer, you know, around, and he also happens to be 6'8" and still growing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's been great to see him progress. You know, he was getting a lot of hype this summer, and I think he's gotten better since the summer. You know, talk about somebody like an old school kid that puts in the unseen hours and all the work, you know, in the morning and after practice and pushing himself to get in better shape. The sky's the limit for him, and, you know, obviously all these colleges are seeing it.
You know, we're always, and I'm guilty as anyone, who's the next player in the area to watch? And, of course, we had the opportunity to be blessed with Romeo Langford up close and personal for a number of years. And, again, you had to compete against him. That may have mm-hmm. not always been fun, but you still, from our previous conversations, I know, appreciate what he brought to the area. This year at the top of the game, you'd say Kobe Barnes, maybe yeah. at Floyd Central as far as a Division I player. And it's exciting to look beyond him at some of the other players, both in your program and from other area schools, that I think we're going to have a number of players and some of these future classes, including some Dragons, to watch over the next few years.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, man, how blessed are we to have Romeo here. Then Kobe had the best year of anybody in South Indianapolis. That's hands down. He didn't make the All-Star team. That's a joke. And then Trey Coleman, he should be a junior All-Star, in my opinion. You know, he's a Division I player. And then, you know, I think we got a couple sophomores that are Division I players. And the sophomore class this side of Indianapolis is ridiculous how many good players there are, the class of 2021. So it's a great time. You know, I can remember when, you know, back when I played here, Matt Wren was playing a year ahead of me, and Bobby Knight came down and watched him play, and man, it was like the talk of the whole year that Bobby Knight was in our gym. And it's almost, I hate to sound spoiled, but it's almost commonplace here the last 5 years with the talent we've had.
Absolutely. We'll let you get to your meeting. You may see, I don't know if he'll be there today, but you'll definitely see him on Saturday, another great IU connection and someone who's kind enough to join us on the Hoosier Report from time to time, Pat Graham. He's an mm-hmm. assistant coach at Evansville Memorial. His son, I believe, is a senior on that team. Pretty good shooter.
Yeah, he's a really good shooter. I mean, he's in the mid-40s from three, and he was, I would say, the MVP of their sectional. You know, he had, I think he had 18 in the second half against Bossy, and it was a big difference in them beating Bossy. So he's going to be, you know, one of the main targets for us when we play him on Saturday.
All right, Coach Brandon Hoffman. Coach, best of luck this weekend. Thanks so much. Really appreciate you dropping by. You've got your regional meeting in Southridge and Huntingburg, but kind enough to join us on your way out of town. That's big stuff, and we wish you the very best. We'll be there this weekend with some joint coverage between Silver Creek and Jeffersonville. We're going to try that out and make sure we bring the very latest back to fans that can't come, but I know we expect a big turnout for both you and Jeffersonville this weekend. Coach, best of luck.
All right, look forward to being on there next week.
Absolutely, for sure. We've got some special things planned for next week. Now you got to get there, Coach. No pressure, all right? Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, thanks so much for being with us. That's our first segment here at Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg, right at the intersection of U.S. 31 and Highway 403. All-you-can-eat buffet, $8.25. It includes your drink. They've got a great salad bar, hot, fresh garlic bread, fresh barbecue sandwiches on the buffet, fresh hot stromboli sandwiches, baked spaghetti, which is made fresh daily, smothered with mozzarella cheese, fresh hot pizza. If you have a favorite pizza, just ask, and they'll make it for you. Again, the buffet, $8.25. It's a great bargain, and you've still got time if you're listening right now. We've got a good crowd here, but we've got still got time to get out and join us. We'll be here until noon live on the radio, and then we'll be here a little beyond that as well if you want to stop by and talk IU basketball and sports here in Southern Indiana. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, he joins us on the phone from Indianapolis. We'll talk some IU basketball, the very latest on this Hoosier team as they get ready for an important two-game close to the Big Ten Conference season. That comes up next right here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Tuesday program, and we are live at Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor, located in Sellersburg. All-you-can-eat buffet each day, 8:25, includes a drink, and a nice crowd turning out to hear our program today, and a nice lunch spot no matter what the day is. We hope that you'll join us. We'll be here until a little bit after noon today, so feel free to stop by if you're out in the Sellersburg area. Joining us right now, our regular guest in this segment on Tuesdays, Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy our warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries at 410 Bakery. Stay inside or use our convenient drive-thru at Coffee Crossing. Greg Doyle, lots of interesting conversations with you over the last few weeks about the Indiana Hoosiers. Now on a two-game winning streak, have knocked out two ranked teams in the last week, week and a half or so, and things looking completely different for this IU team at this point of the season than maybe they were a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago they're under 500, and right now they have a fairly clear path to getting into the big tournament. And I mean, I realize in a vacuum that might sound stupid. They're 15 and 14, and normally when you're 15 and 14, there is no path unless you win your conference tournament. This is not a normal year. I'm watching ESPN this morning, and just this morning, Joe Lunardi has Texas in the tournament as of last night, before last night's game. Texas was in, and Texas went in last night's tournament at 16 and 13. Not only was Texas in, they were a number 9 seed at 16 and 13. They lost last night, which helps Indiana. So if you're 16 and 13 and a 9 seed, well, IU's 15-14. They got two games left. They ought to win them both. You know, Illinois and Rutgers. That gives you 17 wins. You win one game in the Big Ten tournament, you're 18-15. That worst case scenario, you're in with the wins they have. Michigan State twice, Marquette, Butler, Louisville. They're in if they can win three more games. And if you can beat Michigan State twice, you can damn sure beat Illinois and Rutgers and whoever's waiting in the first round.
We're talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star live here at Sir Dano's in Sellersburg. And, you know, this team, just the energy level, just the effort level, some of the very basic things that you and I have addressed in our interviews together, our segment together on this program, basic things you expect from a high-major basketball team, whether it's at Indiana with rabid fans and a great environment to play for every game, or whether it's, you know, somewhere else. And those things seem to have gotten away from this team until recently. And all of a sudden, Purdue at home, they play very tough in the game until the very end, basically, and don't come up with a win, but come up with a good effort. They go on the road at Iowa, another great effort from the team, some late three-point shooting, kind of buried them there. But since that point, and really even in those two losses leading up to the two wins, means just the basic thing. Even if you don't know anything about basketball or offense or defense or whatever else is going on with this team, just the energy that this team has brought, something has clicked, something has changed, and they're back to playing with the confidence level and the energy that you would expect an IU basketball team to play with.
Boy, and I wish, don't we all wish we could be a fly on the wall for whatever happened after that Minnesota game about 2 weeks ago when this whole thing started. I mean, Archie was miserable after that game. He was a beaten man, and yet not really, because I guess a beaten man, that implies they give up, and he didn't give up, but he's been upset and unhappy and mad and whatever all season long, but that Minnesota game, that changed things. He even said, this changes things, and man, I wish I knew what it meant when it changes things in practice. I mean, does that mean he shows up with, you know, pulls a Bob Knight trick and shows up with a whip and a couple chairs? I mean, I don't know what he does, but it's a different IU team, and if you look at the game they just won, Michigan State, the two guys that I've been hardest on, and I do not say sorry, but the two guys I've been hardest on, Devontae Green and Justin Smith, won that game. I mean, they won that game. Romeo was off, and Juwan Morgan was, I think, foul trouble. At the very least, he was off. Those two guys won the game. And I think IU is, you know, as good as Romeo is and Juwan Morgan, they need a third and a fourth and a fifth option. They haven't had it all year. And those are the two most talented guys in the team, not named Romeo and Juwan. Those are, I mean, far and away the two most talented guys. Haven't been the two best guys, which is why I've been complaining about them all year. But they are physically the most gifted and or most talented, in Justin Smith's case, both guys in the team, not named Romeo. Frankly, not named Romeo. I mean, Justin Smith's body is ridiculous. So, anyway, I'm happy for those two guys that they're maybe turning it around, and that means IU is all of a sudden dangerous.
What do you think, Greg, as far as the rest of the season goes? This team has two regular season games, one at home, one on the road, and then, of course, the Big Ten tournament. It's going to be important. It's going to be a big piece of this, if this team, especially if they went out in the regular season, if they can get close enough to the bubble or inside the bubble to make the bracket, whatever you want to say about it. It's going to be interesting to see. Each game has taken on a completely new meaning than what I think we thought maybe just a few weeks ago they might. What you, and I think you said this in our first comment, our first question today, but what exactly do you feel like, in your opinion, Indiana has to do to get into the tournament? Is it to win out and then win one game in the Big Ten? Is it to win out and win a couple big games in the Big Ten? What do you see as we move forward in the rest of down the stretch here with Big Ten play?
I think to feel confident on Selection Sunday, I think 18 and 15, you, as ridiculous as that sounds, I mean, it sounds still silly coming out of my own mouth, but this is a year for, as they call it, the soft bubble. And what that means is there's just not a lot of resumes that are all that good for seeds 10 through 13. Hence, Texas is in right now at 16 and 13 as of last night. So the bar's low to get in. I think if IU wins two out of the next three, only two, that means they're 17 and 15. And if they only win two of the next three, they're losing to somebody bad, because if you they need another couple to win, they need three, okay? And they can't get a good win without taking care of business twice this week. And if you lose to Illinois Rutgers, it's a bad look for you. But I expect, they went to Iowa and they're one Jordan Bohannon shot away from winning that game, and kind of same thing happened at Assembly Hall. Jordan Bohannon is single-handedly keeping him out of the tournament at this moment, but they're one Bohannon shot away from winning that game. They almost beat Purdue, probably should beat Purdue, and then they beat Michigan State twice, and they beat Wisconsin too. So they're not going to lose unless something goes wrong. Whatever they found, they've been consistent for four or five games now. I think they're back, and so I suspect they win these next two games, which also takes them out, however, of an easy first-round Big Ten tournament game, because instead of being a 11 through 14 seed, if they win the next two, they're going to be an 8 or 9 or 10. At that point, they're going to play somebody pretty good in the first round, but that gives them one more chance to cement their tournament bid.
Talking with Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing, and we are live today at Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. And, of course, Greg is with us each Tuesday on the program. You mentioned Justin Smith, his effort really unbelievable in the last time out for Indiana. We've also talked about, and you just mentioned it, the lack of production at times outside of players named Juwan and Romeo. When you've been high on Justin, I think, a lot of this season when we talk about his athleticism and some of the smaller things maybe that he's done at times to help this team. But as Indiana moves forward for the rest of this season and definitely into the future, has your opinion on what maybe he can be at Indiana and the type of player he can become as a Hoosier, has it changed or has it increased at all with what you've seen this season, and of course highlighted by his last game out and his big point performance?
I think what's reasonable to think of Justin Smith is he could be in this lineup, you know, given what he has around him, he could be a 10 or 12 point game a game guy and maybe eight or nine rebounds. So let's say 11 and 8. That's reasonable. Now I realize against Michigan State he doubled that. He had 23 or whatever he had. But, you know, just because a guy's a great game doesn't mean that's your new bar. I mean he hit three threes. That's just asking too much. He was stupendous against Michigan State, and I'm not about to sit here and say that's what he ought to do every time out. No, I don't think so. But he could be an 11 and 9 guy with that body. He's got. I mean, Romeo's built for the NBA. He's, you know, he's 6'6 and 215 and long and all that. Romeo's doesn't have to apologize for anything physically. But the best body on that team is Justin Smith, and it's not close. I mean, Justin Smith is NBA power forward right now, and he's not skilled like that, but that's the body he has, which is why I've been so down on him when he's averaging 4 rebounds a game. I mean, you got no business with that body and your athleticism getting 4. So if he can be an 11-9 guy, if he could have been an 11-9 guy all year, we're not talking about are they in, we're talking about what their seed is.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. I've got to ask you about Keon Brooks, and I know you've been here and there and everywhere, Greg, but I assume you've seen Keon is going to make an announcement a week from Friday. It's going to take place in Fort Wayne, his hometown. I believe it is church. It's going to take place at a church, I know that. Any thoughts on his forthcoming decision and the way that he structured his announcement? Do you think it's good for Indiana? There had been a lot of buzz late about Kentucky and a recent visit that he took to Lexington for a game. Any insight on what you think might happen with Keon Brooks and his recruitment?
Yeah, I've got two thoughts. My initial thought, and I tweeted it out the other day, is when the announcement was forthcoming, I said he's got to be an IU commit, right? Because he loves Trace Jackson Davis, has always wanted to play with him, and his father played for Ed Schilling at Wright State. Ed Schilling is now an IU assistant coach. Normally, you've got those two factors, and you're a state kid, and you're committing at your high school. Of course, where else is he going to commit? I don't want to read too much into that. I mean, I guess he could commit as prep school, although that's also in the state. He's normally, you add all that up and you say, okay, he's going to IU. And I tweeted that out. And just immediately was told by everybody, you're wrong, he's going to Kentucky. And a lot of that is probably Kentucky fans. And you know, I don't put a lot of stock. They're telling me what they hope. They're not telling me what they know because they don't know. But I will tell you this. I then got a text message from a Division I head coach who recruits Indiana very hard. And he told me he's going to Kentucky. Now, that coach is not in the 5 finalists. Or however many Keon has, he's not a finalist for him. But this guy, without me asking him, sent me a text message wanting me to not embarrass myself, tell me that kid's going to Kentucky. Does the coach know that? He doesn't know that either. But that's what I was told by a D1 coach who I suspect knows a lot more than the average Joe on Twitter telling me he's going wherever he's going.
You may be some tough lunchtime news, Greg, on the recruitment of Keon Brooks.
And listen, let me be very clear about this because I know how people are. I mean, and I know, you know, the job I have, and the Indy Star is not saying jack squat. I'm not reporting jack squat. I'm just telling you what a guy told me on the phone. If I believed it to be true, like to the level of, hey, this is news, you'd have read that story in the Star. And you didn't read in the Star because I'm just telling you what I heard. At this point, it's a rumor, but it's a rumor from a guy who would know. But again, people can be wrong.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, as always, thanks for the chat. Going to be some interesting times here over the next week or a week and a half or so to see what this Indiana team can do and getting back in the postseason discussion. That's where they're at right now. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Save me some Sardano's Hawaiian pizza. You better have some of that or you're doing something wrong down there.
Hey, you've got two places to visit when you come down here.
I know. I want my sugar-free dark chocolate coffee from Coffee Crossing, and I want my Hawaiian chicken pizza or Hawaiian pizza, so let's get going.
You've got two places. We'll start at Sardano's.
Okay, and
we'll
then
make
dessert.
Our way down into New Albany and hit Coffee Crossing before you get back on 65 North. I promise
sounds
we'll
like
make this happen.
Okay, okay, good deal, Matt. Thanks.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star with us, always with us Tuesdays. His segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Coming this March, the 4th Coffee Crossing location, in fact, not too far from where we're at today here at Sardano's. Watch for Coffee Crossing Sellersburg, located right near Ivy Tech in the I-65 interchange. We're at Sardano's Pizza Parlor, all-you-can-eat buffet, $8.25, includes a drink. We'll be here live on the radio until noon, and we'll be here a little bit after that if you want to stop by and talk IU basketball and local sports. Nice crowd here. Good regular lunch spot, but we've got some IU shirts and things in the crowd. Appreciate those coming out today. When we come back from this commercial break, Jeffersonville coach Joe Luce will be with us. His team won the Seymour Sectional on Saturday night. getting ready now for Bloomington South. That will be the Red Devils' next opponent in the state tournament, forthcoming up on Saturday at Seymour High School. We'll get an update from him and talk with the championship coach after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
On this Tuesday program, here with Jeffersonville coach Joe Luce at Sir Dan O's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. All you can eat. Pizza buffet, $8.25. It includes a drink. They've got a great salad bar, hot fresh garlic bread, fresh barbecue sandwiches, fresh hot stromboli sandwiches, baked spaghetti, which is made fresh daily, smothered with mozzarella cheese, fresh hot pizza. If you've got a favorite pizza, just ask. They'll make one for you and put it out on the buffet. Joe Luce is my guest. And, Coach, first off, congratulations on a sectional championship Saturday night in Seymour. A lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It was a lot of fun. Our guys definitely played some very good basketball in both those games and this weekend. And we're very thrilled when the final horn finally blew and they had a chance to celebrate with their classmates, celebrate with their families, their communities. And, you know, and then it's always, you know, quite a memorable moment when you get a cut down the net. So a big weekend for Jeffersonville basketball.
And I said this yesterday on the show, but I'll say it with you here. You know, for someone that hasn't followed Joe Luce's career at a few different stops across the state, they may not know that you've had postseason success at Marion and Richmond and, of course, played at Seymour with one of your Richmond teams in the semi-state round of the tournament before you came to Jeffersonville. But it is your first sectional championship as a coach here in Southern Indiana at Jeffersonville High School. How does it feel to get your first one down here?
You know, definitely, it was part of the plan on, you know, making the move to Southern Indiana. You know, we felt like, you know, there was a different route to get to the, you know, the state finals. And, you know, we felt like it was a different challenge and some old school basketball that would, you know, day in and day out challenge our team so we would be more tournament ready. And it has been. I thought we played a really good schedule. Obviously played some good teams, some big rivalry games, so we're not in awe when we play in front of a sectional crowd that, you know, is a little bit larger than normal. And most definitely very very rewarding to be a part of the team, you know, myself along with our coaches and our players, and to be able to win that championship.
Jeff Coach Joe Luce is with me here at Sir Dan O's in Sellersburg. Your team is playing some good basketball. I think you've known, even going into the season, that you had some talent on that roster and that it was possible for you to have this type of success as you've went on to have this season. But really, in the final weeks of the regular season and then, of course, into the sectional tournament, your team clicking. You've got many options, maybe some options that are more prevalent now that weren't earlier in the year, and things just generally going really well for your team right now.
You know, talent's a scary word and not always something that's a compliment. And, you know, our guys do have some, you know, some God-given ability that has helped them along the way. But the one thing that we definitely missed early in the season, it took us some time and some hard knocks, was just some toughness, some team chemistry, guys developing into roles, realizing they needed to be a little bit different, you know, than what they'd been in the past as far as perspective of going about practice and games. And so that maturity level has changed throughout the course of the year. You know, we've been tested in lots of different ways, but again, took a couple tough losses, I felt like, at Bedford, and then, you know, at home against Harrison, for us to really, you know, get everybody on the same page. And we have grown into a team that has capitalized on the talent that we have, play very well together. We distribute the ball. We'll have three to four guys in double figures each night, and that can be, you know, anybody different each night. And I think the biggest thing about our team is they sacrifice. You know, Coleman's a Division I athlete, a guy that gets lots of notoriety, but just like in the championship game and in the game semifinal, I mean, he can, you know, take the double team. He can get 11 or 12 points. He can distribute the ball, let Jones and Starks and those guys do their thing and have no animosity at all towards them. So, you know, we got good team chemistry. We got guys that can play a little bit and are unselfish right now.
I want to have a conversation with you specifically about Jacob Jones. I heard, in addition to what I saw, I heard lots of comments from fans about they were impressed with how he handled the basketball, how he works under pressure, how quick he is, how quick his first step is. He really is a guard that has multiple skill sets and is able to do a lot of different things to help lead your team. And I really felt like as the season went on and as he really got in a groove with you guys that he helped take things to another level. And as you get into a regional set, a two-game set in one day, it takes players not only like Trey Coleman but Jacob Jones and some others to lead the way.
Yeah, you know, multiple skill sets and, you know, jump shots in the gym when there's no fans and all that stuff's great. But you have to perform and you have to mentally prepare and think, you know, when the game's on the line, when, you know, 8 o'clock hits and it counts for real. And, you know, the one thing Jacob has done over his career is definitely put in the time in the gym, you know, whether it's with a personal trainer, whether it's with our coaching staff or his father or his brother, you know, he's always trying to get better. I just don't know that he was always focused, you know, when the tip came. And, you know, he'd have a good game, not a great game. He'd have spurts of brilliance, but then he'd have some, you know, some steps backwards. And, you know, the one thing that we've seen in the big wins that we've had this year and then especially this past weekend was a young man that was totally focused for 32 minutes, you know, willing to not only, you know, score some points but take care of his teammates and, you know, just get us at a pace that our guys felt comfortable playing. And, you know, when we get up and down the floor and we get the basketball out of the net, if it's a made bucket or, you know, on an outlet pass after a rebound, you know, we're hard to guard and we can – we can get down the floor. And definitely Jacob played you know, complete games in both games, I thought, mentally and physically, and is a very tough you know, very tough guard. He's hard to keep in front. When he makes shots, he's really difficult to guard, and more importantly, he still remembers to include others offensively while you know, giving the other player on the other team a, you know, hard time defensively. He really is a guy that keeps the ball in front and you know, makes it hard to do much against.
We're live at Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. You're listening to Jeffersonville coach Joe Lucen. I almost feel like I'm kind of rehashing a lot of the same talking points I had with you on Friday leading into the game against Bedford. And, of course, you guys went on to just absolutely blast Bedford, for a lack of a better word. You got ahead of them quick, and the game was really out of reach for the Bedford team pretty quickly. And that play obviously continued over to Saturday as well. But we talked about Jones, and you said how important he would be to the weekend in Seymour. Of course, we always talk about Trey Coleman with the athlete and the potential that he has to play at the next level. And we also mentioned Will Lovings-Watts, and that's kind of my next question or point for you to talk on is, you know, the freshman who you said had come a long way, and we've seen it. He really stepped up in both of those games over the weekend, consistently knocking down jump shots. And I found myself a couple times in both games thinking, wow, he is a freshman. This is his first time out through a sectional tournament into a sectional championship game. He's going to be around the area for a number of more years. And Coach Hoffman was here earlier. We were talking about Silver Creek and some of his young talent. And it's good to know that we've got some really, really good players spread around some of our local schools. And I think when you look at that freshman class, there's no one more exciting to think about and to watch develop over the next few years than Will Lovings-Watts.
Yeah, Will's definitely a very talented young man that, you know, can do lots of different things. The thing I think is most exciting about Will is, you know, you're going to probably see a guy that ends up being a slash point guard, two guard. You know, Kobe Studemeyer, you know, is another guy that's a freshman that dresses for us. It's going to be an outstanding talent. And I think both those guys will handle ball handling duties when we get down the road. Will fills in more of a four-man for us now and a rebounder, but I think you're going to see a very complete player in Will Lovings-Watts. And, you know, huge shots in the first half against New Albany when we needed to have a third and fourth scorer when, you know, guys were being doubled, such as, you know, Coleman and Jones, and he definitely stepped up. But, you know, you can't forget the other, you know, two that I mentioned, Kobe, who's a freshman that dresses for us, but you can't forget Devin Franklin, who's a sophomore, as well as Jalen Fairman, who's another sophomore. And both those guys have had, you know, very good seasons, have gotten better at the end of the season. And I think if you know, were circling, you know, a point to attack us on a scouting report, you probably would go at, you know, at Franklin a little bit. You'd look at Fairman coming off the bench is maybe somebody that you could take advantage of. And I think in the two tournament games, especially this weekend, both those guys really played well, especially Devin Franklin. I thought he stepped up. He was active on the offensive glass, hit some big shots, and overall did a good job defensively when we needed to make some adjustments in the second half. You know, when we were getting beat around down low, we made that adjustments, moving him to the post and Will back on the perimeter, and then Fairman hit some big shots. He had 9 points on three threes in the game against Bedford, and he came back and had a big three in the game against New Albany. Also, you know, not to drag it out on your question, but also you can't forget about Caleb Mason and Marquez Jordan. Marquez gave us good minutes this weekend, and is probably the best teammate we have. And then Mason always makes big shots. A 4-point lead goes to 7 really quick at the end of the third quarter when Mason buries that 3 in the corner that kind of gave us a lot of juice heading into the fourth.
Jeffersonville coach Joe Luce, his team will take on Bloomington South at the Seymour Regional on Saturday. Great to be back at Seymour again. I mean, I know for some of the locals that have been able to win that sectional, New Albany for a number of years, and now Jeffersonville, your players get really comfortable with the locker room, with the environment. The people at Seymour are great to deal with, great to work with, and now your team gets to return there for another day of basketball on Saturday.
Yeah, I had a great experience. When I was a head coach at Richmond and we were in the semi-state, I was very impressed with, the facility speaks for itself, but, just the overall, vibe you get when you go in there and the hospitality and just the way they run a first-class event. And it's been no different in each of the, times that we've, had a chance to go down and play in the sectional and then looking forward to that same, that same type of atmosphere in the regional. And it does make a difference. I've played in other places that, it's just not the same. And, they make make it a priority, and they want it to be first class. And again, anything I've been a part of, Southern Indiana with basketball related, it's always a throwback. There's a little bit different care that goes into it, and the Seymour sectional regional and then the semi-state that I was a part of a few years ago is definitely just a different feel.
And I've got to bring this up as well. All the players that we've discussed and that you've mentioned, including your entire roster, it's not like we're leaving someone out, no seniors on the Red Devils roster for this 2018-19 season. And while I understand all of your focus is squarely on Bloomington South and the regional on Saturday, Jeffersonville with a breakthrough sectional championship over the weekend is now primed for what could be a nice run here for of basketball for this area. You continue it at Jeffersonville.
Yeah, it's kind of a good thing and it's a bad thing. The one thing you want to always remember, no matter what you're doing, is to live in the moment. And we've talked a lot about that with our guys. Is that this is the 2018-19 team? It'll never be the same, no matter if we have guys returning or not. Roles change. Guys decide that basketball is not as important to them, and you just never know in this day and age how things change. And so you just never know what's going to happen to you the next minute or tomorrow. So, we've really had to discuss living in the moment, taking out of their heads the idea that next year was going to be a good year, because the thing about any type of success is you're going to build on what you've experienced. And we want to experience as much success as we can this year, as deep a run as possible, and then we're going to take a look at building up on that leading into next year. But not on our agenda right now, nothing but having a great practice tonight. Continue to focus on each other, and then playing our best basketball again of the season on Saturday.
Tell us a little bit about Bloomington South. It's an opponent that a lot of area people may be familiar with. They play the New Albanys, the Jeffersonville, Silver Creek as well, Floyd Central. So it's a team that's in and out of the area throughout the season. And as you've maybe taken a second look at them this year, what are your thoughts on what you see?
Number one, it jumps to your, has to jump to your front of your scouting report is their winners. I believe that's 6 in a row for them. As far as sectional championships, you know, the winningest coach in Indiana basketball history leads them. Guys that, you know, have been bred and brought up on, you know, a winning culture. And it becomes something that you expect year in and year out. And, you know, I don't think there's any difference with this group. They've, you know what, they won 21 of their last 22 games and have played some very good basketball throughout the season. You know, with that said, I think we match up very well against them. A perimeter, you know, or a dominating team. You know, the Leo kid's very good. They're just going to, you know, they're run their stuff and they're going to play hard. And the one thing that anybody I've talked to, hard to pick up on film, but the one thing that's verbalized to me the most about them is they're tough kids. They don't back down. They're not afraid to make contact. They're not afraid to remind you that, you know, you're playing against them. And something that I think our kids are really going to have to match. We saw some of that this weekend, guys getting on the floor for us, you know, guys taking it to the rim and not being afraid of contact. And I think a really big part of this game on Saturday afternoon is going to be about just toughness on, you know, not backing down and making sure that, you know, we realize every possession is just going to be a dogfight.
I know, and we won't ask for too much thought on this because you don't want to look ahead, but a lot of area fans, especially those that lean in favor of IU as well, excited about the potential for Trace Jackson Davis and his Center Grove team, who I would think are fairly heavy favorites in the other morning game against Jasper, who kind of was a surprise bid to the Seymour Regional, to maybe match up with the local Red Devils if you guys are able to do your work against Bloomington South. That would be an interesting championship game with some interesting storylines in it as well.
You know, we just you know, need to find a way to get there to begin with. But, you know, I think that game will be more interesting than people give credit. Franklin played them very well, had an excellent game plan. Just talking with some people as I was gathering information for, you know, for Center Grove as well as Jasper. I think Jasper is able a little bit to fill into some of the ways that Greenwood and that Franklin played them to give them a hard time again. With what they want to accomplish, and you know, having a McDonald's All-American is not a bad way to start your team. But yeah. With that said, you know, it's a lot of pressure for all those other guys, as we saw last weekend in New Albany's win, and you put pressure on other players that aren't asked necessarily during the season to score and to make plays. It really becomes difficult come tournament time, and I think that's what people that have played against Center Grove have tried to do also. And just will be an interesting game against Jasper, and no matter who we would play on Saturday night, we would be very anxious, excited to be there, and look forward to playing another good game.
Coach Luce, congratulations on what's been a tremendous season so far. Your Red Devils playing great basketball, and big opportunity for you guys to keep on playing throughout the regional weekend, and who knows, maybe beyond. Thanks for coming up to Sir Dano's today as well. I know you've got a busy day at school and a busy day preparing for your Saturday game or games potentially, and I very much appreciate your time.
Thanks. We got a couple things that are going on this week with our basketball program. You know, number one is preparing for a game and keeping our kids focused on that. But we have a very good support system at Jeffersonville, and Todd Satterley is an outstanding athletic director, and Julie Strait, our principal, is as supportive of any administrator I've ever been around in my 25 years of public education. But we're going to have a public pep session on 7 o'clock on Thursday. It'll be brief, 45 minutes, but just an opportunity for our kids to be in front of our fans, in front of their friends and family, and to say a couple things about getting ready for playing on Saturday. So we would definitely invite anybody that's wanting to come out to come and share that moment with us. Just a few, like I said, minutes, 45 minutes to an hour with our cheerleaders of getting excited about playing on Saturday. And thanks to you, as always, you make Indiana high school basketball a little different in this area, just with your passion and the commitment that you and your radio station make to the young men and women and coaches that are playing the game.
Thank you very much, Jeffersonville coach Joe Luce. Coach, best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to have Todd Satterley with us to close the program, get a little ticket information for you for those fans that might want to know how to get some ticket details for the Seymour Regional on Saturday before we close things out. And nice crowd here today. Coach Satterley eating some pizza here at Sir Nano's. We appreciate everyone that stopped by to take the show in live and in person. And if we can get Mr. Satterley on, Coach, glad to have you at Sir Nano's.
Well, it's really good to be
somehow
here.
Somehow you and I always seem to hook up around food. You know that?
that's a bad thing for me, man, I'll tell you.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on from a ticket perspective. I know that fans interested in getting tickets, and while you're here, we wanted to give you the opportunity maybe to tell how the process will work for a Jeff fan or really any area fan that may want to go to Seymour and come to Jeffersonville High School and get a ticket.
Sure. Right now we have tickets on sale in the athletic office. They're $10. They're good for both the both games of the morning session and also the championship game later that night. We've got plenty of tickets on sale. It's been a nice, steady stream all morning long of people coming in to get tickets, which is really good to see. And we'll have those on sale all the way through Friday. And those individuals that may not be able to make a morning game and coming back for the championship, Seymour will have some single-session tickets on sale for $7. Or if you can only make the morning game and but the single-session tickets will only be on sale at Seymour, and they're $7 a piece. So we hope the people will save themselves some money and come on by Jeffersonville High School and go ahead and get both session tickets and make their way up on Saturday.
Absolutely. What are the hours for tickets this week?
From 8:30 to 3:30. Today through Friday is when we'll have those tickets on sale. So feel free to stop by the athletic office. It'll be door number 14. So it's going to be on the football field side of the school, and there'll be a doorbell right there on the brick by door 14, and my assistant Leslie will let you in. You can come on in and buy tickets.
Absolutely. Todd Satterley, Jeffersonville Athletic Director, congratulations to you as well. Big week for the Red Devils, and best of luck on Saturday.
Well, really appreciate it, man. Hopefully we'll be back here again talking with you next Monday after our regional championship.
Absolutely. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. Great crowd. Thanks to everybody that's here to enjoy some pizza. And don't forget the buffet at Sir Nano's is available Monday through Friday, also Saturday from 11 to 8, Sunday from 12 to 4, and it's just $8.25. It includes your drink. There is all types of good stuff on that buffet, and we appreciate everybody out enjoying it today. Have a great Tuesday. We're back with you Wednesday at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.